Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to speak again in front of you. It's been a while, but hopefully I'm not too rusty. So, do you ever wish there was another Bible? Okay, I must admit I kind of said that to get your attention. What I mean is, do you ever wish the Bible was a little bit more long-winded in some aspects, or some certain areas? The Bible has amazing intensity and focus of its message. It's perfect. We all know that. Of course, there are things and stories we'd love to hear a little bit more about. Paul, for example, in 2 Corinthians, or one of his letters to the Corinthians, stated that in explaining to the Corinthians that he had been through more shipwrecks, more prisons, more stripes, and we never hear anything about it. How many more stories from the Old Testament are like this? We would like to hear a little more. We're fascinated by all these stories, but there's just something, all the details that many historians would think are important are kind of missing. And then, of course, there are things like the kingdom of God, how often we discuss and dream about the details of what it will be like, but God just didn't provide it, didn't think that was important. God just gives us just enough. It's amazing the intensity and focus from a historical, even from a historical perspective, and in a historical perspective, the brevity of a lot of areas in the Bible. And actually, a lot of people use that as a proof that the Bible was inspired by God. Because if we were writing it, we'd have a lot more details about things that aren't necessary to our salvation, necessarily, but are pretty interesting, that we'd be find interesting stories. Take the gospel accounts, for example. They all four told of Jesus' life here and his death, and all do it in quick manner. If there are many books about, for example, even one of our presidents, the assassination of JFK, they would have, you know, miles and miles of books that line up just for that, those few seconds of his death. But the history that we see in the Bible is so much different, so much more focused. Another example of how focused the Bible is how easily God summed up his directions to Israel and mankind in 10 points, the Ten Commandments. And if that wasn't enough, I think maybe that was too much for us to handle. Jesus summed it down even more in just 2 points. Love God, love our neighbor. So where am I going with all this? This all came actually from an introspection of my own communication style in regards to representing God's message, gospel, truth, and how I comfort others. And basically, when I give a reason for the hope that I have been given, as it says that we are to do in 1 Peter 3:15. This is such an important part of our Christian duty, and I was especially inspired by Mr. Bob Dick's message at the General Conference of Elders that happened a couple weeks ago. And if you missed it, it's online, and I would recommend it even hearing again. He broke down a lot of really good points about how, in relation to our communication, our making of disciples in this day and age. And his title was Making Disciples a Whole Church Effort. If you turn with me to you all know the scripture. So Jesus instructed us to make disciples in Matthew 28:18 through 20. I'm going to turn to another scripture, if you would. 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4. And this verse kind of explains why God expects that we give a reason for our hope, not only to make disciples. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, I'll read that. Blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And isn't that true? As for me, I could learn a lot from the communication style used in the Bible. I often say too much or not enough. I say too much, maybe overcompensate for, I don't know. For example, the leadership meetings. I'm one of the youngest guys in there, and I used to be shy, so I want to make sure I tell everyone everything that's important. And my story was a lot longer than people that have 20, 30 years on me. So sometimes we say too much. Or sometimes I say not enough, like when some people were asking me what I had done last weekend. And I said, I was hanging out with friends. And I could have explained things a little bit. I was doing that. And in Pentecost is something people would actually recognize the name of. So sometimes we say not enough, thinking that, you know, that it's just easier just to brush over those things. What then can we do to be more focused in our message? Besides the most obvious fact that we need to pray for God's spirit and guidance in what we say. I think one thing would be to prepare to say more with less. God, so many times in the Bible, has said so much with a lot less. And we all know that our attention spans are not that long. And if we prepared more to say, or prepared more to say less, more with less, we'd do a lot better. And second, we need to focus first on the aspect of God's message that best relates to them. Sometime when we explain, what religion are you? We explain what differences we have. I don't know if that's what they were really asking, but you start talking about the Sabbath, the holy days, which are awesome things, which we're passionate about, but it might not necessarily relate to what they're asking or what they can relate to. Now, going back to preparing to say more with less, what if we only had 140 characters to explain why we believe in what we believe? Why would I want to do this? It's no secret that most of our attention spans are limited. Besides that, though, I think it would be fun. 140 characters is the limit that comes from, I got that from a social networking site called Twitter that a lot of you know might be on. I haven't joined it yet, but it's where you give updates to whoever cares, whoever wants to follow your Twitter, and you get to just tell them whatever you're doing at that moment. But what if we only had 140 characters to explain why we believe what we believe? So if I may, I would like to ask all those taking notes, maybe, if you would, to answer the following question. And if you're not taking notes, maybe just think about it in your head. And I think this would be a good exercise. And if you want to do it later, that's fine too. But how would you answer someone, maybe with a Christian background, you could do it with a non-Christian background. How do you answer someone if they ask you, and they see your passion for what you believe? Why do you hold these set of beliefs? What would you say to them? So I'll give you 30 seconds, and maybe some of you can write down what you'd think. I don't know if that was 30 seconds, but hope that was enough time. And maybe many of you have done this already, but I thought this was helpful to me, and so I wanted to pass that little exercise on to you. And my goal is to maybe do that every week for some other situation where I can really condense what I know into something that's very direct and very, that would be more focused and maybe relate more to what those people are that you're talking to are interested in. Mr. Dick, in his message, and I forgot to mention this, gave a list of some things that, it was a study done that was giving a list of what people like about Christianity, and many of you might remember this list, and what the positive aspects are, and it kind of gives a hint into what you could maybe put in your message. People like that our religion gives us a hope for the future, and that's, we have a strong hope for our future in God's plan that He's laid out and the truth that He's revealed to us. They want something genuine and real, and this is genuine and real, and something that makes sense. These are some of the things that we have a strong positive attributes of God's message that He's given us. In all of this, of course, we know the importance of keeping a godly perspective. We know first that God does the calling. We all realize this. But we also need the patience of God, and at the same time, the diligence in preparing our minds and hearts. Like Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but God directs our steps. Maybe it's an exercise like we just did that might work for you, but maybe it's something else. Maybe we need to take longer than 30 seconds. But I'm sure we can all help each other when we need to make disciples of others. And last, we need to care for these people like God does, for each other. Only then will God use us to deliver those focused messages of hope and comfort to those that He wants. Thanks.